Hey, gang, it's time for Puck Off. Frazier Smith here along with my buddy Joe Bartnick. Joe, what's going on, buddy?
Feeling good hanging out.
You feeling better after the operation?
Yeah, I'm getting back, getting back to square one, having fun.
Man, you look good. You can't keep you on the DL.
No, thank you. You look really. You're always impressive looking, but you look a little tanned.
I'm trying to do
another new shirt. I'm hoping the new shirt
will get me more opportunities in show business.
There you go.
You never know.
You got to look good. You get dressed to impress.
That's the plan, always, man.
First of all, happy birthday to our great producer Andrew.
Andrew, happy B day.
He's stunning 29.
Wow, man.
Wow. I mean, looking good.
He's rolling.
Yeah.
He's rolling.
Still picking up high school chicks.
Looking
that good.
I'm jealous. Got to be honest.
I'm very jealous.
Yeah. And a lot going on, of course, in hockey.
GM meeting. And we have the great Corey Hirsch back again. He loved hanging out with us.
He's great, man.
He's great. And, he was on Sportsnet. He was on Sportsnet this morning, the Hockey Central. So,
this guy knows his stuff.
He's hanging out with the big boys.
Yeah.
And he comes down with us. So we'll have that at the halfway point. All the awards are crazy. I was thinking this week I'm going to cut back on the goons, but so many things happened.
You can't cut back.
I let some of the fighters out, but some great save this week. We're going to talk about the Toronto Kadri 4 games for the
elbow. I looked at it. I looked at the clip.
And he's not even goon of the week, by the way.
I got to be honest about that, and I'm really sorry that the guy got hurt, but I didn't think that was a nasty elbow. I think it was one of those things where he's trying to get through a space, had his elbow out. That could have been accidental.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the most – it wasn't a Matt Cook elbow.
No.
Wasn't a Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream elbow. Four games is pretty a lot, though. I mean, I think they did him a favor. He doesn't want to play for Toronto anyway.
Well, yeah, maybe.
We haven't talked about him in a couple of weeks, it's amazing how awful they are. I mean, it's amazing a professional friend. I mean, that's like if the Clippers were the Yankees.
Wow.
You know what I mean? They're at that level of awfulness.
And it's our buddy Shanny.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. And, that's such a great hockey town. That's, an amazing city for hockey. So the fans are there.
It's like if the Yankees were as bad as the Pirates were for 20 years.
Yeah.
But even that wasn't like a circus sideshow of horror. I mean,
this is a what's going on there? It's a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean, between whatever, but keep it going. Who I saw that they had that interview, and was your buddy Pat Hughes?
No, I saw that on your thing here. They had Hughesy on there.
Hughesy was down at Gretzky's camp, hanging out, and I was like, wow, he's doing the media tour, Pat Hughes, and he had a ring with the 76 Canadians.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think he's got 4 rings.
He said he had 3, so I don't know.
Oh, 3? Oh, maybe it's only 3.
He's been hitting the head a couple times, though, Pat.
Yeah. He's a tough little guy, man.
He was great, though, talking about it. He's like, Gretz brought him down. Gretz took, because Gretzky and Lemieux, they always take little, Lemieux is also the king of the little undershot, king of the.
Yeah, left-handed compliment.
Yeah, not even compliment, just like a little shot.
What was the shot?
Well, Gretz said, he goes, these guys come down here and I get the chance to play around a bit because, once you retire, you retire. You shouldn't come back. Lemieux came back, for more comebacks than the Who.
So he was a little dig on 66.
You had to be someone. I was not looking for it, but, that's the beauty of it. One of those ones that, not like he's saying it,
Yeah. Gretzky's too classy to ever directly say it.
No, exactly. Just like Lemieux, they don't.
Yeah, they're both class acts.
Yeah, a little, when you're 1 and 2 or whatever.
They're probably buddies, I would imagine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Frenemies. Right, that's what they say.
Frenemies. Yeah.
Frenemies. I'm sure Lemieux wished he, when Lemieux had 199 points and Gretzky had 140, and they gave Gretzky the MVP.
Wow.
Yeah. He might still hold a little bit of a grudge. But,
I got you. Now, how was Hughesy? Did Hughesy come across good? He's always cool, right? Hughesy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was happy to be. I think he spends his winters in Winnipeg or Edmonton. He was happy to be in Vegas.
Yeah, sure.
On Wayne's tab.
Yeah. Exactly. Who wouldn't want that?
No, because he's like, Wayne was like, you want to. He was this on the NHL Network. He was like, EJ Raddick. I think we have easy gigs. EJ Raddick's easy gigs. easiest gig on earth.
Right.
But EJ was like, I guess he, Gretz wanted him to come down and play. And he goes, well, I ain't going to play. And he goes, well, then coach.
Well, the thing about Husey is that that was always Gretzky's boy.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what he was, yeah.
He, you know, he drove him to the rink. He kept an eye on him on the ice.
That's what's great is he's he's still helping him out.
Yeah, I love that. And Husey's a great guy. Well, that's cool that he got a little airtime. Now, I got to talk to you about we got so much stuff to get into, of course, right now. But there's an article. You know, we love Helene Elliott, the writer for the Times, the hockey writer. But she had a thing today about Quickie. And
I hope it was all good.
It was mostly good. She wasn't saying anything bad about it, but she had said that he had had some detractors this year when he went into that kind of, for him, a slump. Not that it was a slump, but just sort of saying that he's hot and cold. And when he gets hot, he can win it all for you.
Yeah.
If not, I guess that's true of anyone. But, you know, now of late, he seems to be playing like the old Quickie.
He just turned on the switch.
Yeah.
People were wondering, can he turn on the switch?
Yeah.
And he keeps waiting later. And it's like when
that was her point.
It's like when you leave.
Yeah.
It's like when you leave for school, you just keep leaving later. And later. The Kings just wait to turn it on later and later.
Yep.
And knock on wood, you know, it looks like they're going to do it again this year. But, I mean, I don't know if that – I mean, is that really – I mean, they want him to be quick 82 games a year. I mean, that's a lot to ask.
Yeah, and the –
Sutter doesn't even ask for that.
No, in fact, Sutter really defended him
in this article. Yeah, of course he did. Yeah, Sutter's going to go in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be wearing Quick's jersey.
Yeah, no, he loves
under, Quick. Over his suit.
And he knows how he knows how important he is.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see who's detracting from
– Well, I'll show you the article. You know, I can't believe – you know, she didn't even really say. She just said experts. Take issue with his consistency.
Yeah, the experts, the ones.
Whoever those guys are.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. In playoff time, there's no one I'd rather have.
Yeah. He wins game sevens.
Yeah.
He's the modern era Waugh, and he might even be a little better than Waugh when it's clutch.
When it's clutch. That's his thing. He turns it up.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That article made me mad a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you knock Quickie?
Yeah, I mean, and that seems like it's like a New York Philly newspaper. It seems like Helene is above that.
Well, she is. I think she was just saying the expert, whoever those guys are.
Yeah, they had 3 days off, and she couldn't come up
with it. Yeah, she needed an article.
Yeah. Experts are wondering why Quick doesn't play hard against Minnesota in February, you know, or in September. Yeah. Well, the GM meetings happened.
All right. Now, what came out of that? The 3-on-3 overtime.
Yeah, they're going to. It still has to go to the Board of Governors and I guess the Players Association. But 3-on-3. You know, you're not a shootout guy. You like the 3-on-3?
No, I don't like shootout. I don't know if I like 3-on-3. It seems like that's pickup hockey.
Yeah, you know, as someone who, I mean, I know like the Penguins are not as good as they used to be because Disco used to practice that instead of actually hockey. I used to be like, oh, it was great. You know, you get Sid come down, Gino come down, we get an extra point from everybody because Flower would. Now maybe that they're not as good at that anymore. I don't know. I'm almost like I'd almost rather see a tie. In the sense that it's kind of. I'm not against the shoot. I don't know. I'm against these 3-point games. I'm against teams quitting 10 minutes left to go. Like, well, let's just go get the tie.
We'll just get a point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, too.
You know what I mean? And I'd rather they don't get the point for the. I'd love to see a way where if no one gets a point, if they tie.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be? That would be really exciting.
Yeah. That's not a bad way to go. The other thing that was
call EJ Raddick down at the GM meetings.
get
EJ off the beach.
He's got enough beach time going. Now, the other thing that came out of it was the goalie interference video review.
Now, how you feel about why? That's what we'll really ask our buddy.
We got to ask
Mr. Hirsch what he thinks.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. The funny thing is when you hear the experts, the real experts talk about it, and Corey would be one of them, you know, it's – I mean, well, you know his side will be, you know, to protect the goaltenders. But there's just so many different variations of what it is.
As an ex-goaltender in
– someone who donned the tools.
Junior high.
Yeah.
That is – I find it something that needs review because, you know, sometimes it is interference. And the goalie's got enough things to worry about.
Yeah. No, I'm happy it's going to be called. Yeah. I just think it's such a hard thing to legislate.
Well, it is because of the inconsistency of
like if he's in the paint, you're not allowed to touch him, period. But what if he steps out of the paint? What if he's playing the puck? Right. What if you're pushed into him? What if he's going so fast he would have hit him anyway, but he's a little bit nudged?
Yeah, that's
true
too.
That's
gray area.
Yeah, but yeah. I do like the fact that they are going to look at it. It does need looked at.
I agree on that, and especially since people are bolder about going around the crease these days. You know,
because they're not calling, or they're not letting you just cross check someone in the face.
Yeah,
forgetting their
so guys will go in there. And it does get in the way. You know, I like it. I think that they should do it.
Yeah, it's time has come. The other one they might review too is the puck over the glass on the delay of game. The other big issue that did – a couple other big ones. The other one that didn't make Goon of the Week was did you see Joe Thornton and his GM Doug Wilson get into it?
I heard about it. Didn't see it, man. Wow.
Well, they didn't – I mean, I don't know if they fought like backstage or in the locker room. Yeah,
I heard they had some issues.
Yeah, and I just saw last night Doug Wilson really came out and gave the big – Joe Thornton's done everything for this organization. He's played so hard this year. He's a good man. He's a great man. I mean,
something did happen.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, Thornton said, Doug Wilson, he was basically asked at a season ticket holder event. Well, you know how those things get a little testy when you're out of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
What about Thornton? And he goes, well, why was he stripped of the captaincy? And he goes, well, Joe doesn't handle pressure well. And
yeah, he said some
paraphrasing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Joe basically said, shut your, GD mouth and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well,
and
that is a hard thing to say.
Well, it's hard to, it's interesting because he said it about his boss.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what made it.
That's never a good argument.
No, but his boss came out and defended him yesterday. But I think something's
brewing there.
Maybe ownership is saying, well, Doug, if we don't make the playoffs, you're not coming back anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I don't know.
Do you see Thornton staying there?
He stayed through all this.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't do anything. Are they going to take the A off his jersey now? And I think Thornton's played relatively good this year.
I think so too.
I don't think he's really been the problem.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other problems.
they got plenty of issues.
The other one, it's kind of news, and then we'll go through the some of the teams before we get Mr. Hirsch. Did you see the stamp with everyone's claiming Pacioretty the worst pass of all time? Like
I just saw
Georgetown downtown Freddie Brown pass to Worthy.
Wow, bro. That was,
Did you see that, though?
That was Leon, what's his name, from the Cowboys.
Leon that level.
It was that was hilarious and weird.
But my contention is
offsides.
Offsides.
I think that,
How do you not just scream that's offsides?
No, if you watch the video, it's clear.
It's clear. He doesn't even leave the zone.
I think because no one was watching that. They were just watching the bad pass.
But no one, I'm not going to get on, I love Kevin Weeks and everyone back at NHL Tonight, but no one, and it wasn't even him, it wasn't him last night, it was somebody else. I mean, no one said, hey, that's an offsides.
Yeah, yeah, and it clearly was.
Clearly offsides.
Wow. And
that's when you're teaching your girlfriends what hockey is. You say, see, now that's offside.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard to – he didn't leave the zone. The puck left the zone. He didn't
that's weird. Maybe just because it was such a weird play, everybody focused on that instead of that it was offside.
No, I can see the on-ice officials even being like
– a little mesmerized by
that. Well, what's funny, too, is, Therrien didn't blow his gasket.
Yeah, I would have gone
off. Therrien is the king
usually,
of the gasket.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't either. Unless there was a different camera angle that I didn't see there.
Looked like it to me.
Looked like it to you. How about them Rangers?
Wow.
Whew.
Wow. I mean, they look good, man.
I know. Klein is out now for four to six. That's going to hurt, but they're getting the King back.
The King's coming back. Now, what do you do with that? Because the other guy's played pretty well.
Talbot has played so amazing that he could be talked about later in the show.
Well, we got to ask Corey that too. We got to ask Corey a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But Corey, as an ex-goaltender, will give us some insight on that. And I think we asked it last week.
Well,
actually,
he's the inverse. I'll tell you, the inverse of it is that, Halak got a little banged up and Newverth, I can never say his name right. He stinks. He came from Buffalo. He hasn't done anything for him. He plays the puck lazily, which is not good when you're a backup goaltender.
No.
He got lit up last night by Chicago like a Christmas tree.
Well, in that case,
And that's where they got him. It's funny because in Buffalo got Lynn back, and I would give him the save of the week every – he's making Jonathan Quick-like saves in Buffalo. But once again, I'll say, who cares? It's in Buffalo.
Too bad.
Why do you do it for Lindy Ruff?
good point.
He's like Ryan Miller. Anyone can make some nice saves in a 3-2 loss in Buffalo.
Well, yeah.
Make them when they count.
Yeah, come on. Well,
the Islanders are looking – they're not looking shaky, and they'll probably beat the Penguins in round one. But, little sputter right here. Little sputter.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've played well all year until now.
Caps are sputtering a little bit. I think Holtby's tired. That's what I really want to ask. That's what I really want to ask Corey about, because I think Barry Trotz ran him in the ground.
Well,
I think he's used to Rene, who's like 6'5 and a bigger guy. And I know Corey said last week it's mostly mental. But still, I think the puck just kind of hits Rene a little bit easier because he's 6'5".
Well, having a big dude in there really helps, man.
I think Holtby's a little worn out, but I see Nick Backstrom, who's now the most famous underrated player in hockey, is now the Capitals' all-time leading assist guy.
Is that right? Wow.
And he got roughed up, and then Ovechkin came in and messed the guy up. I didn't put that in.
We should have had that.
Ovechkin saving it. Ovechkin knows who butters his bread.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And everyone's been waiting for us to talk about this. Your Red Wings absolutely destroyed the Penguins.
Wow.
In a classic Penguin meltdown.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. They shot the Kunitz shot the puck at the ref, and and Letang went crazy. Who knows what And everyone's like, the culture, the leadership. Unless they trade Crosby, or
Letang. Wow, do you think that would ever happen?
Probably not. But our guest next week is going to be a great comic and a return guest from Pittsburgh. He's flying out here doing Hollywood things. He's coming on, Aaron Kleiber.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to save a lot of the Penguins ranting and raving
for Aaron.
Right. Yeah. So we don't do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, okay. Well,
as long as Letang and Crosby are together – on that team, they will always be that. They have a reputation for whining and bitching, and they do.
Yeah, well,
and, I mean,
Sid does, and Gino's out.
Yeah, that was the big key. I mean, Gino's out. I mean, not that you wouldn't have beat us anyway, but, Sid was out. And they put Howard on the bench.
Well, I was going to ask you that next. Mazarek, we were talking about how well he played, and then Howard comes back, and now they're bringing Mazarek back.
Yeah, well, Howard did not look good the couple games before.
No,
well,
he didn't.
He got run out of Boston, I believe, the day before, or Philly the day before.
Well, that was the reason.
But that Thursday he played terrible, too.
That was the reason I brought it up to Corey last week, because as an ex-goaltender, he gave us some – the answer he gave, I think, was that – stick with the guy that's hot.
Yeah. Look at the Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar, man.
they finally stuck with him.
Yeah.
Now they're back in the mix.
Yeah. I think it's the smartest thing to do. Because the other thing is, and this is something else we did talk about, which is when your first string guy does come back, is he going to be in shape for a while?
Right.
You got to get him dialed back in.
Right.
And that's what makes those couple of games. I think that's what happened to Howard.
Yeah, and the trade a little bit has a cushion, but Ottawa might have screwed up their whole season because Hamburglar he's tied with the record for allowing two or less goals in the first 12 games of his career. It's a 70-year-old record.
Wow. Yeah. That says a lot for the hamburger.
It's 770.
Wow.
Not like 25, not like, you know. I'm going to get the guy's name. We'll give him a shout out. Oh, I did not write it down.
You didn't put the old guy down there?
I was in my written notes, not in my type notes.
Oh.
So I apologize to his family, who I'm sure is listening.
They are.
The other one that's big is Elliott's playing really good golf for St. Louis.
Yeah, again, a backup that does well.
Well, he's kind of the starter this year. Brodeur wishes he was still the backup.
Yeah.
He was the backup to Brodeur. But, you know, now Captain Kangaroo is fourth all-time wins.
Is he really? Wow.
Scotty's like lapped him. He has like 700. Wow. Scotty's got like 1,700 or something. I might have the numbers wrong. And then the great Al Arbor. And then Joel Quenneville.
Joel's third. Yeah. Okay. Scotty's number one by a long shot. Right?
He's like the Gretzky of scoring.
Yeah.
No, I think Scotty has like 1,700 wins or 1,500 wins, and I don't think anyone else has over 1,000. Maybe Al Arbor has 1,000, but yeah.
Scotty's hard to beat.
Killing him.
Yeah.
Killing him. But now St. Louis got Bouwmeester back. I'll tell you what, Nashville is in trouble.
You know what? They do seem a little shaky right now.
Yeah. I love my new James Neal, Daylight Savings James Neal. But, you know, and all the other guys, you know, all the other guys on that team, like, you know, Wilson and Smith and Cullen, all those guys that were scoring before, and I got to keep on they're not even keeping up in March.
Well, you know, I had a feeling this might happen, and I don't know if I said it earlier or not, but, you know, a lot of teams, so we talk about it. A team takes off like that. You know, they're not expected to do that well. All of a sudden, they're doing great, and they peak a little early.
Yeah. And now Philip Forsberg, the well has dried up a little bit there.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But, they do look shaky now.
Yeah. Well, they're going to look very shaky whenever St. Louis passes them and they get out in five when they play Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Because Taze ain't going to choke. Taze ain't going to whine. Taze ain't going to whine to the official who doesn't get a call.
Well, Chicago, you know, even with Kane out, is playing pretty well.
They're playing amazing. Well, Patrick Sharp, he's back in the penthouse playing with Hossa and Taze.
I hate to say it, but I always thought this was their year. I mean, they haven't really shown it so far, but we're getting the playoffs.
Well, I think tonight – and you have already known what happens on a Rivalry Wednesday.
Oh, this is a biggie tonight.
Don't let Pierre Maguire ruin your enjoyment of Rangers Blackhawks.
Well, yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
it's a big one.
It's a big game. And then we got Ducks Kings tonight, don't we?
Yes.
Ducks and Kings. And that's a biggie for the Kings.
It's a big one for the Kings, although I think Calgary, you know, Calgary's slipping away a little bit, man.
They're starting to slip.
They really miss Giordano. But Johnny Hockey now has the most goals, points in Calgary rookie since the great Jerome Iginla.
Wow, that says a lot.
But they're bringing back Doug Murray for a tryout, and he is slow.
Well,
yeah. I love Crankshaft, but I mean, the game passed him by 5 years ago. I don't know.
Who would win a race between him and Rigueur?
Oh, well, Dougie.
Yeah.
I mean, Rigueur. I mean, I could win a race with Rigueur. But Rigueur would be grabbing me from behind.
That's funny.
Rigueur will probably put a stick over my face in some Manhattan Beach bar this week. But
probably.
Are we ready for the great Corey Hirsch?
All right, here we go.
Hey, Corey, it's Joe Bartnick and Fraser Smith of Puck Off.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Always want to talk some hockey.
I'm doing good.
Good.
How are you?
Doing good.
Great good. Show today on Hockey Central, Sportsnet.
Yeah, we had some fun today. That was good.
How fun is that show really as loosey-goosey as this show is, or is it like the fun is structured? It seems like you guys have a blast on that show.
We do have fun. It's a lot less structured than actual TV, though, so there's a little bit more free reign because you don't have someone on TV. You got somebody in your ear saying, all right, you know, 10 seconds, and you got to wrap up your thought.
Yeah.
So that's there you don't have that, so you can just kind of talk about what you want to talk, and then you know you can finish your whatever you got going.
Yeah, that's cool.
I always like when you and Doug McClain jab each other too. It's always fun.
Yeah, Doug's a great guy. He's been great with me. He's he can dominate the conversation. Like he's pretty witty, pretty smart.
So yeah, you handle
my words in when I can.
I think I watch that show a lot. I think you handle him really well, but he does. He always cracks me up though. He's funny. He seems like a great guy to go have two or three or eight beers with.
Well, yeah, because you can always get into you can get into a pretty heated debate with him. You
know? Oh, I've
like,
seen
he's
him.
Always got something to say, whether it's controversial or funny or what. Like he's smart. He's a very smart man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen him go after a few people. Okay, now we'll get your opinions. 3-on-3. Do you like that, or would you prefer a shootout?
I love it. I'd love to see the 3-on-3. I've played a lot of 3-on-3 hockey, but in practice. Eventually somebody will score. You give the NHLers a five-minute overtime at 3-on-3, we'll rarely see a shootout. The goalies would have to be really good because the scoring chances would be crazy both ways. But leave it to the coaches, though. They'll probably find a way to extremely bottle it up and make it as defensive as they can. But right. it should be pretty offensive and wide open, which would be great.
And that's what you like about it is that it's wide open?
Well, yeah. I mean, could you imagine Crosby, Malkin, and those guys in a 3-on-3 situation? The plays that they could make and the things that they could do. I think it would be fantastic, right?
Yeah, and then Lou Lamoriello send out three defensemen.
You just send out your three D men, right? Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, you have Corey Perry, Getzlaff. You could have those guys out there. I mean, it'd be awesome. It'd be absolutely awesome.
No, I mean, I think it's totally exciting. I just wondered as a goaltender, because I think that what's the official union stance? Is it better than shootouts, you know, for you guys?
Yeah, I would probably go with the fact that it's got to be better than the shootouts, right? I mean, we're getting to the point in the shootouts now where guys are going so slow.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, it's getting to the point where it's like it's
like being on
guys
the
are just trying to figure out how to, you know, get away with whatever they can get away with.
No, yeah, I would think it would be, it's more of like the team is playing, not just you're out there on an island, literally.
Hey,
but go ahead.
As an ex-goalie, Corey, on a shootout, do you do your homework on each guy so you know what their moves are? I mean, pretty much.
Oh yeah. Yeah, especially nowadays, because what we used to do in St. Louis with the goalies is we would give them their top four shooters and all their shootouts from the year, how they're shot. So before a game, they'd be they would watch them and go through them and then try to pick up little things that they do, you know, each time, little kind of like poker tells, you know, what guys do, and everybody has one. And then we'd give the forwards shootout video of the other team's goalie. And we would show all the goals he's been scored on, so guys know what they're looking for. So yeah, it goes both ways.
So that's
give me the iPad. We'd put it all in an iPad, and then we'd hand it to them before the game. And sometimes Brian Elliott, he would before the shootout, he'd ask for the iPad on the bench.
Oh, that's yeah.
So look at it right there. Yeah.
So that's why Letang's backhand hasn't worked in two seasons. Everybody's seen it. Now I think you're happy, even more happy about at the meeting is they're going to look into goaltender interference.
Yeah, every so many years it starts to creep back, gets a little bit worse, a little bit worse, a little bit worse, and then they cut it off, and then it gets a little bit worse, you know, and then they have to meet about it. So this year has been particularly, it's starting to escalate a little bit again, and the situations we've had is where there's been a couple where the goalie's actually been pushed right out of the net. Like a guy gets pushed in and then cross checks the goalie right out of the net. And then the puck goes in, and the guys are so big and the game happens so fast that it's impossible for the 5'8" referee standing in the corner to see everything, you know, over the four guys that are 6'4", 220 pounds. Right. I mean, they can't see everything. So, it sounds like they're going to bring in a rule where, you can challenge, situations like that.
Are guys just faster now and they're not stopping? Or because you played in an era when, I mean, and like when you were a Ranger, like you had Buka Boom. I mean, you played an era where if you went there, you were gonna get killed. And now it just seems like there's not much fear in that, you know, just going there. Is that, do you think that's part of the problem?
Exactly.
Is that
used to have two or three defensemen that were tough, and their sticks were like, they weren't real. They were like, they were 2x4s. So, yeah. So guys had to go through them. Right.
Yeah.
But those guys, typically they weren't very fast. They couldn't really skate, but how they got by was how strong they were. They would just grab onto one of these little guys and no, there'd be no call. And that's kind of how they got by. So when they took the red line out and they made obstruction, all those guys got pushed out of the game because they couldn't just hold guys up anymore with their sticks.
Yeah.
So what's happened is now you've got a lot of smaller defensemen that can skate, but they're not scaring anybody in front of the net. They really aren't.
So that's why there's more. Yeah.
So it's kind of changed that way.
But even if they would, I mean, you know, they just basically call cross-checking and slashing in front now, though, right? I mean, it's not even just – even if guys want to do that, they're just calling it, you know.
Yeah, the rules have changed. We've given the forwards free rein to kind of do what they want because they want more scoring, which makes sense. But you also have to let the goalie be able to do his job. And, you know, that's kind of where the debate's gone right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do you think a video review catches the different angles that – the refs miss?
Yeah, I think you can tell when a guy gives a little extra shove or pushes the guy out of the way or whatever. But it's gotten to the point too where the goalies are getting good at it and they're just kind of flopping around a little bit, making it look better than it is. So that's why I think you need the video review because you can't always tell on the ice exactly what happened at the time it happened. So I think I'd like them to be able to review it like they review any goal. Where the video review goes back to Toronto and then they call down and those guys make the decision in the control room there so that we don't have as much time where the ref's skating over, he's looking at an iPad. Or in football, you know, it'd be nice in football if they just went up top to a control room. It would take a lot less time than, you know, when right now we've got the guy who's got to go over to the booth, put the hood flaps in, he's got to look at it. So I'd like to see it more like go along the ways it's gone so far with the NHL.
I think the hardest one would be to when a guy's coming in 100 miles an hour, but then a defenseman kind of pushes him, and then it's like he might have got out of the way if he wasn't pushed, but he was pushed, and that's going to be a judgment call, right? And what did you always feel about?
Yeah, when it's almost like a flop.
Yeah. What did you feel when your defenseman would knock a guy into you? Like, does that help, or what's, you know?
Yeah, no, you know what? Sometimes those guys aren't doing it on purpose. They're trying to get the guy out of the way. So there's got to that, and that's what I mean by a lot of times the ref can't tell if they're pushed in initially when the play's happening so fast. So I think that's why you need a secondary opinion on a goal like that.
Right.
Whether or not the guy was pushed in or whether or not – It was the guy faking that he was pushed in. I mean, you can tell that stuff on video review. Y'all can't always tell it right off the hop.
Right.
See it.
Because to me, that's what I see. I almost seems to me that every time goalie interference is called, it's the guy's been pushed in. Like the offensive guy has a legitimate gripe. It's when it's not called, usually the guy isn't pushed in, and it's like, oh, boy, the guy ran him over. You know, that's it.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I've had situations where I chased the ref to the red line because some guy smacked into me and they scored a goal, and the ref calls, and I'm like, really? We're gonna call that a goal after the guy smacked you out of the net? I don't recommend that, by the way. It usually doesn't turn out well.
Oh, yeah. you don't get the next call. Is that what you're saying?
you don't get that call back. You don't get the next call, and sometimes you even get tossed out of the game. So,
oh, geez.
Maybe not a good move.
Ref holds the key, right? Ref controls the game.
Yeah, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you was I guess you know about the goalie, I guess, American Idol kind of thing they're doing in Florida.
Yeah, with the tryouts. That was cool.
Oh, you thought it was cool? Okay, because I know that, you know, I don't know, like John Madden came out and he was like, oh, that's terrible. These guys worked their whole lives to be goaltenders and, you know, they shouldn't do that, you know. Or he said it basically about Will Ferrell, you know.
Yeah.
And I know some people hate American Idol because it's like, oh, these singers worked their whole lives and these people. I just wondered what, as an ex-goaltender, what you thought of the whole proceedings.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was, you know, you can't always be 100% serious. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're an entertainer. You know, even as an athlete, you're entertaining people. That's what you're doing. That's why people go watch the game, because they want to be entertained. So you know, to give people the seriousness all the time. It's I like the fun stuff.
So it's fun, yeah.
I'm just pissed that I didn't get an invite.
Really? Yeah, you would have won that, man.
Yeah, well, you
throw me a bone here.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe I could have resurrected my career.
You could have.
Oh, but then we'd miss out though. Then yeah. I guess they would have an insider to the Florida Panthers.
Corey would have won that.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. You would have beat Linda Cohn, I hope.
Old man, buddy.
Now, we touched on this last week when we talked to you, Corey, about the backup goalies coming back. The first string goalie coming back, and the backup's been hot. For example, in Detroit, they had, Jimmy Howard came back and didn't play that well, and now they're coming back with Mazarek. What are your thoughts on that in terms of, what do you do when the backup's played well?
It depends on what's going on with your team. I think you have to give your number one goalie an opportunity to get his job back, depending on how he was playing before he got hurt. If he wasn't playing well before he got hurt, and this guy starts running with it, well, then you go with the backup. But if the guy was playing well and he gets injured and he's historically been there for you, well, you got to give him an opportunity to get his job back because he's obviously your better guy rather than, then you've got a pissed off number one goalie, and because a backup goalie goes in for 10 games and plays well, eventually you want to go back to the number one guy. So you don't want to upset him either. So you got to, it's a fine, delicate balance, but you also have to win, right? Look at Ottawa, what's happened there.
Yeah.
The other kid's winning. He's winning every game. And you know what? And when you're the goalie, like the number one goalie that Craig Anderson is, you get it,
Yeah,
that it's not going to last forever with the other guy, and you understand why it's a. But you'll get your chance again.
It was kind of like
they'll get their chance again.
Yeah, it was kind of like those two couple games that let Anderson play. That could be the difference. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, and in Detroit, Howard he hasn't played very well. He really hasn't. So he's done it to himself.
And what do you think about though? Just like the upside of Howard is like he's a better than average good goaltender, but Mazarek could be a star.
Could be absolutely.
Is it almost like you almost have to let? It's like the kid, whatever you just have, I don't know. You're just keeping, you might be keeping Patrick Waugh on the bench,
Yeah. Well, that's the way the game is, right? There's always someone, faster. There's always someone better coming up.
So yeah.
It's a cutthroat business. That's just the way it is. And you're always, bottom line is you're in the general managers, owners and coaches, they're in the business to win. And, that's just the way it is. And sometimes, some guys get pushed aside.
Well, the one thing, though, too, is if your number one guy's coming back, it's going to take him a few games to get dialed in, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it does take some time. Typically, at least a week to 2 weeks of them playing. But we're at the point in the season where it's tough to get back in there because when do you play them?
Yeah.
When do you get them their games in now?
It's going to be interesting with Talbot. And the King. So, who would think the Rangers would
absolutely
still be on top? Because, I always pronounce his name wrong, but Nevworth, the Islanders got him for some games, and he's not looked good at all.
No, so that's another interesting scenario. He hasn't played well
and then
at all.
Lindback looked like amazing in Buffalo. It's like, you should have been doing that with Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff would be in the playoffs. what are you doing in Buffalo?
Yeah. Anybody can have one good game. No, I even had one good game.
No, you had a bunch of them. You had a bunch of them. We're going to play the video.
Now we got the video.
Yeah, you got the highlight clips. But Corey, as always, thank you so much. I mean, this guy's he's on TV with Doug McClain.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Takes the time to talk a little hockey with us. You're the best, Corey. Thank you so much.
We appreciate
it. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Corey.
A lot. It's been a blast.
Oh, thank you.
All right, buddy. Yeah, that was cool.
He's the best.
He's cool.
He's the coolest dude. Literally, he's on this morning with Doug McClain he's across the world, North America on Hockey Central.
And we got him on
Puck
Off.
He takes the time to come to Puck Off.
Love it.
And this is how I'm entrenched in old Patrick DeVine, like that I forgot about Kings Ducks tonight.
Well, you know, Kings Ducks is huge tonight for the Kings, and I forgot I was going to ask Corey the last question I wanted to ask.
Sorry.
No, that's cool. I just wanted. I think he gave us the answer last week. He said Kings were going to get in.
Oh yeah, he did.
And I wonder if they are. I mean, I sure hope they are. But yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you who. They beat Vancouver 4-0 the other night.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny. That was
a big win.
Our boy Cassie, and you know what he did? Everyone's like, what he did the whole time. He just messed with Dowdy.
That's how, yeah. Cassie, if he wants to get on your case, man, look out.
But you know what? I mean, then Dowdy's not playing with the Sedins. Sedins are running around dancing. I mean, they didn't win the game, but it's like, you know, that's what Cassian brings.
That's what
he does.
You
know how much we love Cassian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about some more of the other teams, though. Well, we talked about Calgary, where they're at, Vancouver. In the middle, Winnipeg is still hanging in there.
They're hanging in, man.
Now they're getting Buff is back.
Yeah.
The Goon of the Week has never been the same when Mr. Buff takes a week
Buff
and a half.
Buff is an awesome player.
When he takes a week and a half off, we lose half of our goons.
Yeah, he's awesome, man.
And they brought it's like I don't want Corey to have to do an hour every week, but I'm going to talk about Pavlik is now back and Hutch is on the bench.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
In Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So I thought Hutch, they're going to ride Hutch, and then the wheels came off. So now they're back to Pavlik.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see Winnipeg make it.
I do too.
Not at the expense of the Kings, but I want to see Winnipeg make it. I mean, yes, you got to love Paul.
They're
Maurice.
My second mistress.
They're second. It's like the 70s again for you. You're building up a harem.
I am.
What about Minnesota? You're off the Minnesota
No,
track.
I like Minnesota. Parise had a big goal. You know, I love him, man.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Chris Stewart, I thought it was a... You know, like a poor man's try at a big time winger, but Stewart's in there throwing fists around.
Yeah.
He won the Probert last week.
He got the Probert. Yeah, you know, he's looking good.
He's sticking up for his teammates.
I like that.
He's playing tougher than he's playing tough. He always played pretty tough, but he's playing a good. He's been good for them.
Yeah, he has.
Is what and Dubinek. I mean, geez. I mean, that's the thing. Forsberg really, Phil Forsberg. He really. Now there's a bunch of goaltenders crawling up his back for the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't...
Looked like he was way in the lead.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I would vote for the defenseman in Florida, but now it's like, you got the Hamburglar.
Hamburglar could
I guess
it.
Dubinick's not a rookie, I guess, so...
But Hamburglar could give him a run.
Hamburglar should win. I mean, if Ottawa gets in... But here's the thing, Florida has to beat Boston a couple times to get in. So that means they're going to get the points of beating Boston. So that's going to be tricky.
And I just love that it comes down to that. Boston and Florida.
Yeah.
Playing all those games.
And now Rask is sore.
Wow. Wow, man. I mean, you know.
He's sitting out games. And Boston's backup goaltending is awful.
But their young D is playing a little better.
A little better. Yeah, Dougie Hamilton, he's strapped on a pair. Starting to play a little better. Torrey Krug is playing a little better. Weidman's playing Seidenberg's playing better. Weidman's in Calgary. He used to be in Boston. Seidenberg's playing better. But who am I thinking of? It's Hamilton. Hamilton's playing better. Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're young D. Well, we'll
see. Scoring some big goals. Scoring some big, you know. Marchand is just carrying that team. And Luch is stepping up a little bit. He got Pastrnak playing with them. He's a little bit ignited.
Luch is your key in the playoffs, so if they get in, they're going to be counting on him.
Luch is about once a game now, he makes about two or three plays where you just see, Luch, why just can't you do that all the time?
Yeah, yeah.
But make a nice pass or just chase someone down and nail him. I mean, you know, because there's games when he puts his footprint on the game.
He can carry you.
And he just carries. And the tide changes. He's possessed. He's kind of like Malkin in that way. But Gino plays tougher way more of the time.
Well,
you know, he's way more.
Consistent.
I think Luch has got that Tasmanian devil thing going. I think there's only been about two or three games this year. Now, I know he's missed some injuries, but Malkin has not been the Conn Smythe Malkin of, like, I'm doing everything. I'm selling hot dogs.
He's had a great year. He's had a great year.
I mean, they would not be in the playoffs. It wasn't. I know that's easy. I mean, but, you know, they'd be done if he wasn't on that team.
Well, he's a star that lives up to his billing.
Yeah, he doesn't,
and he doesn't take a night off. He works hard.
He doesn't take a night off. He doesn't disappear. That's the thing that, you know, Sid has been doing this year is he's been disappearing.
Well, I'd have to agree with you on that.
And you never used to see disappear.
No. No.
You know, and this is one thing I totally want to address, and, you know, is thinking about it, is every time they interview Sid, well, what happened? Well, you know, we got our chances, and sometimes they'll do this, they'll go in the net, whatever. You know, in the toughest of losses, not in the postseason he gets down or gets upset, but in the regular toughest of losses, he's like, well, you know, we got our chances, we got to put him in. I think we did some good things out there. I understand Mr. Positivity, whatever you want to say. But then, you know, you interview Kopitar, and they interview Kopitar after a 3-2 loss to Nashville, and this lady asked him, did you play good enough to win? I was scared for this woman's life. He didn't say anything. He just looked at her like, are you kidding me? I mean, I've never seen Kopitar look like that sitting in the penalty box.
No.
He wanted to kill this chick. And, wow. I mean, it was just like, we didn't play well enough to win. Like, you know, we don't make it. Daryl Sutter, we don't make excuses. We don't.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's what you want for. That's a leader.
Yeah.
Not like, well, we did play good enough to win. We just didn't get any better. It's like, no. Either win or you don't. If you don't win, you didn't play good enough to win.
Well, and also he hasn't been playing up to his usual skill set.
Right.
You know, although he did have a beautiful goal the other night. I mean, well, he has flashes where you see the old Sid.
Yeah. And in his, you know, and the line mates are ill-equipped. He doesn't, you know, Kunitz is old. What's his name? Hornquist is good, but he's always hurt. And Como is on Gino's line. He's, you know, he's a tweener top six guy. And Perron, he was great when he first got here. He was just happy to get out of Edmonton.
Yeah.
And then he kind of slowed down. But, you know, at some point, that's the thing. If Gino had Perron and Horn and Kunitz, he'd be scoring way more. It's like Gino always gets the second line help too, and he doesn't really complain and bitch about.
No,
not that Sid complains about his line mates, but Gino still kind of produces. He's still seen out there.
Well, you just like to see a little bit more of the old Sid.
Yeah, even just for the game, just for the league.
Yeah. Well, he's your top player,
you know. Because if you say someone, now that guy's the best player in hockey, then they go see him play. It's like, well, all I see him was, make one bad drop pass and shoot the puck in the goalie's chest three times.
You might not go home with the same evaluation.
Might not go home. Is he Jonathan Toews? Well, he scored two goals, last night or two nights ago.
Well, I've asked this before. What do you think it is? I mean, is it the post-concussion stuff that he went through? I mean, why is his game off?
I think a little bit of he don't call the game the way they used to. Right after the lockout, when he came in, they were calling obstruction. It was a more wide open game. He doesn't make those explosive plays anymore because defensemen just clog them up and interfere with them. And this isn't some whiny, it's the referees, but they don't call it. So the defenseman wouldn't step up on them in the old days because A, he'd dance around them.
Yeah.
And if they grabbed him, they'd call the penalty. Now he's might be a step too slow to dance around all of them.
And they're not calling them.
They're going to grab him anyway, and they're not going to call it. Yeah. And he made his own bet on that, though. But, you know, he's a little bit up there in age. And now there's other guys out there. But, you know, even like, you know, the great players, the game has changed because we all know how great Tavares is. And he's made like maybe two moves this year that were just like, wow.
Yep.
Whereas like 5 years ago, you know, the guys would make, you know, Sid, Gino would have, you know, seven or eight of those.
Well, Corey,
you know, like that suit would make seven or eight of those.
Corey brought something up, though, about that, where he said the defensemen used to be slower. and they were just tough guys.
Right.
You know, now you got speedier guys back there. Maybe that's got something to do with it. You know, just the fact that they can keep up with these
guys.
They
keep up. But they are interfering again. And it's a fact. I mean, it's why there's 1-0 games. There's 2-1 games. You know, they're just teaching. I mean, that's, you know, it's the way it is. I mean, it's
clutch,
you know,
and grab.
Clutch and grab. And I'll tell you what, you had to really like hockey to watch that Penguin Devils game last night. You had to really like hockey. You had to really like the Penguins or the Devils. Cause it was just, oh, it was like 1982. It was like 83, 84. Whenever, if Sid was on the ice, there was a chance of maybe a goal. If not, none.
Nothing.
Yeah. None. Now let's get to
we gotta get to our awards.
So I have officially pulled myself, just as I said, Colorado and Dallas are not making the dance. Sweet Hands, my team will not make the dance.
You're making that call?
I fell out. Oh. I'm gonna still keep playing hard.
Well, of course.
You know, but I don't know. I'm 25. I was 25 ahead of everybody. Now
yeah,
I'm 20, 25 back. I'm collapsing like the Toronto.
That was Toronto type collapse.
Phil Kessel.
So who's gonna win it?
Right now, our buddy Jose Galvez in Alboing is ahead.
Jose's in first.
By 0.5 over Giroux butt grab. Wow. Area 51.
Tight race.
Area 51 is 8 back. Antony Emmy is 10.5 back. And I'm calling me and Pronger's cap hit my second favorite name of the. I think we're out.
Yeah. Wow.
Because only 2 more weeks left. I mean, only like 3 more weeks left.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Jose.
Jose.
Leading the pack.
Now I don't know if you'll agree with this, but we'll do our we'll do our saves. We'll do our saves.
Okay.
Saves. We have a rat. He's the best. Andrew's the best. I almost forgot about it in the music.
Come on, it's his birthday.
She got me. Give him a cake with chick popping out.
There you go.
We have the great Tuukka Rask stopped Ian Cole, the Penguins, in the slot. A big time save. May have, you know, say when Boston was on the ropes, and then he stopped Como on a 2-on-1, and that was all the sweat that, the Penguins gave him. But they were 2 great saves. We have Cam Talbot just absolutely stole one from Nicholas Backstrom with a glove in that big old Patrick Division tilt. Whenever they really, the Rangers really stopped Washington in their tracks.
Yep.
We have our buddy John Gibson, Pittsburgh kid, off of Johnny Hockey on the goal line.
Light came on.
The light came on. Now that's always when it's in your glove and the light came on.
Come on.
You ever have that happen to you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did? The light came on. Like, no, it's in the glove.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's the best.
That's always great.
One of your boys, Carey Price.
Love him.
Stopped Matt Martin of the Islanders right on the side of the net, big time. Here's an announcer for you. Darren Pang, between the benches, caught one with his bare hand.
Come on, you got to love Pang for that.
You got to love Panger for that one.
Yeah.
Pietrangelo, right back in the game, right back, clears the Fiddlers right out of the crease there. Saved a goal. This is probably my favorite one.
The Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar stopped. The other two are mistypes. Stopped Hamburger with the glove.
Yeah.
Stopped Jordan Staal. Just big time. Staal looking up to the heavens with the glove.
Gotta love Hamburglar.
Wait, so those are your saves of the week. Anyone stick out of your mind?
Yep. You know what I'm going to go with? I hate to do it. Got to go with the Pangster.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, he got to. He's still keeping
it. Got those hand-eye skills going.
Still keeping up. Barehanded.
Barehanded, dude. You got to go with that.
Barehanded, too. You got to love Pang.
Yeah.
It's surprising he could see over the bench.
That's true. That's what makes it even more impressive.
Yeah, it's a high, hard one for Panger.
Yeah.
Darren Pang does. He does a good
he's
job.
Good, man. He's good.
He's a good guy too.
And when you can catch a puck with your bare hands like that on the.
Yeah, you wonder. That's just reflex of being a tough hockey player. Because if I saw one coming to my hand, I'd pull it away. Like, don't break my hand.
I'd retap. This guy was right on it, man.
Now we have a bunch of goons.
All right.
Again,
just on
boom. You think on a this guy never takes a day off. Never, even his birthday.
Even his birthday
shows up. Morning skate.
I love it.
Everything. Boom. We got Steven Stamkos breaks a stick, throws it into the crowd. Not very lady. Not very Lady Bing like.
I like Stamkos, but that can be dangerous.
Yeah, that's you know, we're not throwing the book. The NHL didn't even say anything to him. Didn't throw the book at him. But you know, don't throw it in the crowd, Steve.
No,
It's a good souvenir. Maybe you thought souvenir. I never thought of it.
Well,
that
hand
way.
It, hand it.
Yeah, hand it. There you go. Nordstrom. Nordstrom got two games for boarding Oliver Ekman Larson. Well, he should be a. I love that name. That name should be like, he should be like a wrestling manager, like managed by the great Oliver Ekman Larson. You know, Zuzin, I need Buma, and then Buma answered to Sill. So that's or vice versa. Yeah. Always love getting Silly in there. It's a fun one because we love Dale Weiss. Regular guy Donovan just destroyed Dale Weiss. So he went over and boarded Anders Lee.
Of course.
that Islander Montreal game was a bit chippy.
That was chippy.
Here's a fun one for you. Smith, the goaltender in Arizona, just reared back and punched Versteeg in the face for being in his crease.
I kind of like that as an
ex-goalie. I thought you liked that one. Yeah. We threw that one in. And Versteeg is now a healthy scratch. So I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah,
good punch.
Joel Quinville sticking up for the goaltenders. Fisher Kessler, Nashville, Anaheim, just a good middleweight tilt. Throw that one in there.
That was a good one.
We have our old buddy Proust. He fought Angelitins twice, and he ran Bishop in between.
Wow.
So and Proust is a little fighter guy, a little tough guy.
Yeah.
Bishop has him by about 5 inches and about 40 pounds. So that was that was ballsy. A little tap of the stick to the ref, Todd Meyer, who got run by Shane Doan, hit the ice so hard he broke his tooth.
I saw that.
And now a guy I like, but kind of uncalled for, Andrew Shaw headbutts Nelson of the Islanders. He got a 5 minute misconduct for that one.
Huh.
Or a 5 minute major. And the Islanders did not score. Chicago was just dominant last night.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they look good.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go with, you want my pick?
Sure.
Goon of the Week? I'm going with Proust.
There you go.
Yeah, because he, you know, Bishop's pretty big.
Yeah, Bishop's pretty big. I mean, and Bishop's mad anyway because, you know, he wants to, well, you know, Tampa Bay is like undefeated against Montreal this year.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still picking Montreal in the playoffs against them, though.
Well, I would, too.
Okay, good. Thank
you. Montreal's going to do well. They're going to do well in the playoffs.
He didn't look at me like, you're an idiot.
No. I actually agree on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're never going to go against your boy Carey Price, right?
Of course not.
PK Subban, Dale Weiss.
Love them.
All of our friends. Pat Chiaretti.
All right, so who's the man of the week?
We're going to give this man some love. Because it could be coming to an end. Yeah. Cam Talbot.
Yep, I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, we have to tap a stick and give all the credit where credit's due. I thought they would. I think Talbot's a good backup, but he is a backup. I thought they would kind of slide a little bit. Maybe Washington at that time was on fire, catch him. I thought the Islanders would jump ahead of him.
Yep.
And we didn't say much about the Penguins, but Cam Talbot stood his ground.
He did. He played great.
He stood his ground and played great.
And the King's coming back.
And the King's coming back, so we'll probably debate that with Mr. Hirsch next time.
Yeah, that's a tough call right there.
Yeah, when Henry's 0-2.
Because the King's one of the very best.
He's not as established as – I mean, he's more established than Anderson and Hutchinson and all.
But
I mean,
Talbot did have a nice run there.
He had a great run. In New York, easier to do in Winnipeg or Ottawa in New York.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. A
lot of pressure. I mean, they actually put Ranger highlights on SportsCenter.
Yeah,
they pay attention. Now we're going to see who won the Mr. Pro Bear Award.
Okay, here we go. It's the Bad of the Bone Award.
The Bad of the Bone Award, otherwise known as the Bob Probert Award. This week it goes to nobody because, Frage, we are not going to hand out this award if you are not worthy.
Yeah, and there really wasn't.
Of Mr. Probert.
There really wasn't.
No one got a fight and a goal.
No. You can't give it an award then.
Can't give it to. We're not just giving it to anybody.
No. That's a very special award.
Yeah.
Well, I like our other picks, though.
No, I do. And we're not watering these picks down.
No, that's what I like.
All right. Well, we'll water down a save. We'll water down even a possible goon. We'll never water down Mr. Ronnie James Dio.
Because it's the man of the week.
And we'll certainly never water down Bob Probert.
I was listening
to some ghost can kick my ass.
Yeah. Loved him, man.
Yeah.
And loved Dio, too. All right. All right, so that's pretty much a wrap there. Wait a minute, is it, or do we have another?
It's funny because the Islanders they signed Letty and Boychuk to these big 6-year, 7-year contracts. They started slurping, and let it be known that the Penguins, when their young rookie went down, and you know how I've been picking on Erhoff?
Yeah.
Like how he's like, you know, we wasted $4 million on him and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. As soon as the kid goes down, the minors, Erhoff comes in.
Gets a goal.
No. We lost 3 in a row.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
It looked horrible doing so. Wow. Horrible doing so. But here's my new – you know how you love when I call people skirts?
Yeah.
You know what Christian Erhoff is? He's not quite a skirt. He's like a pantsuit.
That's almost worse.
Like the kind Diane Russell wears on NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
The detective, you know, Kim Delaney. Yeah, he's kind of he's a pantsuit.
Yeah, that's not good.
Derek Pouliot.
There you go.
There you go. Derek Pouliot. Can you believe that? Gone 3 games. My mind, I'm telling you, shot this week.
Well, what do you think with the just quickly on bubble teams, just very quickly in a wrap? You think Kings get in?
Kings are in, my friend. It's a matter of Calgary chasing
Winnipeg.
Yeah, yeah.
How many games left? 13 games left.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. 12. Most teams got 12. It's the funnest would be if Minnesota would collapse, and then we get Winnipeg and Calgary in there. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I'll just take Winnipeg, and it'd be just fun to see both those teams make it. Western Canada, Johnny Hockey.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But I'm not going to go against my. We've liked Winnipeg since like October, November. Their coaches hung in there. They've all hung in there. They've made the trades to compete. I want to see Big Buff in there.
Big Buff, that's our guy. I want to see them get in.
The other side, I think Boston's in, but Florida can give them a scare. Imagine Jágr putting a couple big goals in.
Wow.
Because they got Boland back. They got Ekblad back. They're. It's a shame they don't have Lindekohn goaltending, but they could that really screwed them, that whole goaltending fiasco.
Yeah,
because Bobby Lou, I don't think I think he's a little overrated for how great people think he is, but he's a great goaltender.
Yeah,
I don't think he's top 3, but he's a great goaltender.
Well, that's gonna be those games with Florida and Boston are gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be the playoffs right then.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and Florida's got some this season. They've really had some majors and some nasty play.
They have
going after knees and some heads slashes. So they'll be up against we'll see what Luch has to go. Oh, Luch go in the
play
corner.
That, man. That's gonna be a chippy series.
For all the marbles.
Oh man,
and Chara.
That's gonna be chippy. That's gonna be fun. I see that.
Mark your calendars. I can get my DirecTVs on this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a great show, man.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks to see you, and you're back on the stand-up circuit?
Yeah, I've been doing all kinds of shows. I did, I'm doing the Ice House this Thursday.
Great.
But it'll be you'll hear this on Friday, so.
Okay. I'll probably see you out there. I always
do
something out there on Thursday, too.
Yeah, oh, cool.
And I'm, of course, on KLOS Sunday nights, 10 till 2 p.m., 95.5 KLOS. Please listen, Puck Off fans. I always appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. This is Puck Off. We are out.